Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for His humility in submitting to all the things that He endured, that He might suffer for us and effectually save us by Thy grace and power. We thank Thee for it. We pray now as we study that by Thy Holy Spirit, Thou wilt take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. In the events that happened toward the last of the Lord Jesus Christ's life on earth, there is probably no other incident that is so pathetic and so moving as the time when Peter denied his Lord. And this we now shall be studying in the Gospel according to Matthew, in the 26th chapter, beginning to read at the 69th verse. The record is told in the other Gospels as well. You can read it in Mark, you can read it in Luke, you can read it in John. Each one of them make a record of this, each one a little different from the other, but all telling the same story. And I shall read this story now and comment upon it as we have it written here. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 69, we read thus. Now Peter sat without in the palace. And by that we mean that he sat outside the courtroom. You'll remember we had been saying that the palace itself was something like a courtyard with a number of different buildings that would be grouped around it. The soldiers were probably in the yard itself, and Peter was standing with them, which is outside the room in which the court was held, where the Lord Jesus would appear on trial. And Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. There were doubtless a group of people around, and the soldiers were there, and other men were there, and women were there, girls were there. And this was a young girl who came up and said to him, in effect, you were one of them, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Now actually, apparently, what he did was to say, I don't know what you're talking about. What that amounted to was that he denied knowing the Lord. You know, the word deny is a hard word, and it should be a hard word. But what Peter would actually be saying would not sound quite as hard as that. As he said, I know not what thou sayest. I do not know what you're talking about, is what he said. And when he was gone out into the porch, which would indicate that he moved out further away from the building, the room in which the Lord Jesus was being tried. He went out a piece further away, you might say into another part of the courtyard, into the porch. Another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And so he had evidently been noticed by someone else, and now another girl spoke up and said this was the case. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Now you will notice that having once said that he didn't know what the first girl was talking about, he now comes out more directly and positively and says, I do not know the man. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know this man. And he denied with an oath using profanity, which means only what it would mean with us in this sense that some men think that when they use profanity, that they're saying something that's more sure than they would otherwise say. It was the kind of thing that would come naturally to Peter, and it would belong to his condition of mind that he was in, and the fact that he wanted to get by without being noticed. He didn't want to openly identify himself with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when this girl said, you're one of them, he said, no. Another one came along and said, you are one of them. He denied with an oath. That's supposed to mean, yeah, really, for surely, I don't know. I do not know the man. After a while, came unto him, they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Now, when they say to him, Thy speech betrayeth thee, what they're saying is implying something like this. Evidently, the folks had been talking around. There evidently had been various kinds of conversation going on, and Peter was taking part in it. And here again we find a very common psychological truth, that when a person is in the wrong and actually is in a position where they have done wrong and they're in the wrong, they so often try to cover it over with talk. And we find people talking a lot and putting on an act of being involved in everything in a public way to try and draw attention away, take attention away from themselves. At any rate, Peter had talked, and that would indicate that he was trying to let on that he was unimpressed by what was going on inside that courtroom. And one of them came to him and said, Listen, you've got the accent of one of those people from Galilee. You're one of them. And surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear. We understand with reference to this second girl, he denied with an oath, but now he is using profanity more liberally, saying, I know not the man. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know the man at all. And immediately the cock crew. Now, if you've been reading along and studying along, you will know that the Lord Jesus had told him earlier that evening, Before the cock crows, thou wilt have denied me thrice. And Peter had said that he wouldn't deny the Lord, and if they killed him, he wouldn't deny the Lord. Now, here he is, and it's the third time, and when he has said this the third time, saying, I don't know the man, the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of the Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. That's the story. I just said it was a pathetic story, and it is. And you and I might very well ask the question, how could he do it? Because you and I might keep in mind that if Peter was able to do this, you couldn't tell about us. It's just the kind of thing we might do. Because after all, Peter was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had known him for at least 3 years, if not longer. And he had been with him in the things that he had done. He had heard the things he had said. He had seen the miracles that he worked. If there was any man that knew the Lord Jesus among the people in Jerusalem at that time, you would have said that it was Peter. And yet, when he comes right to this particular spot, Peter tries to get by without admitting that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And that did that in such a way that it was counted as denying him. Again, we ask the question, how could a thing like that happen? Now, if you and I would look at the incidents that led up to this in the life of Peter, we would see a very interesting development. And I think it goes all the way back to the time when the Lord Jesus first told the disciples that he was going to Jerusalem and that they would take him and kill him, and that on the third day he would rise from the dead. And you will remember the first time that was said in the 16th chapter, Peter took him aside and rebuked him and said, Lord, be this far from thee. And the Lord Jesus had to rebuke Peter and say, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. You will remember that. Now you ask yourself then, how will you describe that? What shall we understand Peter doing? And I'm going to propose to you, we shall understand Peter thinking like a man about the whole business. Thinking like a man. And that can start, which will wind up, in the matter of some shame and disgrace as far as we're concerned. So this is what we find him doing first. As I say, thinking like a man. As a man, he had the feeling the Lord Jesus didn't need to go to Jerusalem. He didn't need to submit to suffering because he had already done so much. But that's just a man's way of thinking. It isn't the way of God. The next thing we find is that when the Lord Jesus told the disciples that they were going to forsake him, Peter spoke up and said, I will never forsake thee. And when the Lord Jesus told him that before the morning, before the rooster would crow, he would deny him thrice, he said, If he were to kill me, I wouldn't forsake thee. I will never deny thee. So he had self-confidence. And oftentimes in self-confidence, we fool ourselves into thinking that we're strong because we're just so sure of our own ideas and intentions. And that's what Peter was. So we have him here thinking like a man and filled with self-confidence. The next place where we see something that can be of help to us, is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there, when we look at Peter, we find that he was sleeping when he could have been praying. Now, we can have the greatest sympathy with him about this, and we can realize that he was just human. We can have in mind that he was tired and all the other things, but when you add it all up, it amounts to this, that he did not watch and pray when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mind you, what we're interested in is seeing how could he deny his Lord, in whom he really believed and whom he really loved. How could he deny him? And we find that this took place in the course of things which really all added up together to the general conclusion that Peter was not prepared to identify himself with the Lord. He had been thinking like a man, and he had been filled with self-confidence instead of confidence in God. And then he had been sleeping when he could have been and should have been praying. The next thing we find is that when they came out from the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, he wanted to fight them. And he took out his sword and attacked them. And you remember the Lord Jesus stopped them and told them to put up his sword. Those that take the sword would perish by the sword. But what I'm interested in is this man is fighting when he should have been yielding. That follows sleeping when he could have been praying, because it takes a stronger man to yield than it does to fight. And then comes the finally, he was falling into denial when he should have confessed. And so we will see this whole thing starts with thinking like a man, being filled with self-confidence, and then sleeping when he should have been praying, fighting when he should have been yielding, and falling when he should have been confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we find that when the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, he sent a special word to Peter that Peter should meet him in Galilee. Go tell my disciples and Peter, I go before you into Galilee. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his great grace and mercy toward us. And we acknowledge how easy and how simple it is on our part to deny him before men. We pray thee to forgive us the tendencies we have to think of ourselves instead of thinking of the Lord when we are doing things before the public. Help us to witness to him. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.